What do I look like, me lad? See that? The buckles on me shoes? Why, I'm a leprechaun.
Hey everybody, happy Halloween, and welcome to F This Movie, the official podcast of FThisMovie.com. Scary movie love for scary movie lovers. My name is Patrick Bromley, and I am joined for this very, very special final episode of Scary Movie Month, in which we annually talk our way through a horror movie franchise. It is the show you have all been waiting for, everyone. Please welcome back to the show, Mike Pomero. Hi, Mike.
Hey, everybody.
Happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween.
How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
I will be better when this is done.
Yes.
This year we are talking our way through the Leprechaun series because we've been doing this for 7 years now and we're running out of franchises.
Have we been doing this for 7 years?
Yeah. Okay. I think, because we started the first year, which was 2010, okay, was when we did Saw. Quick question. In, like, September, I think it was September, mm-hmm, maybe August, when we were kicking around, like, hey, what franchise should we do?
Yep.
Why did neither one of us say Phantasm?
That's a great question.
It came out in a box set, and I feel like earlier this year when it came out in a box set, I thought to myself, well, this will definitely be the franchise.
No, we went right
this year
to Leprechaun.
And then I completely forgot. And the other day I was like, wait, why didn't we do the Phantasm series?
That's a great question. I don't know.
Instead, we're doing Leprechaun, which, listen, now we have something to look forward to next year when we also forget to do Phantasm and instead end up doing still not Hellraiser. What else is there?
Psycho.
Yeah, yeah. We could do the Psycho franchise at some point. That might be all right. Final Destination.
What makes me nervous about that we keep holding off on Hellraiser?
Yeah.
The list will only get longer.
True, but I'll be dead before we get to it. So if we just keep putting it off, I will be long since dead. We are going to read some of our favorite entries in the Scary Movie Challenge all month long. You guys have been kicking so much ass with your 7-word reviews. As proof of that, we have been doing a number of bonus episodes this month. I have been podcasting up a storm, which means every few days I've had to find brand new 7-word reviews to read, and I keep finding them because that's how funny and clever and observant and insightful all of you are. We are recording this about 2 days before the end of October, so I do not have a final count. But, you know, suffice it to say, hopefully it's around 3,000, which someone the other day pointed out, like, yeah, that may be as good as it gets. You know, maybe it's always going to be around 3, because right, I keep saying, I want to beat last year. But, like, yeah, maybe we just max out at around 3,000, which is still about 100 remarkable a day. Right, exactly.
Every once in a while, I think about how this maybe didn't start with Young Guns, but it was in the beginning. And if you would have told us then that there'd be a thing called 7-word reviews.
Yeah, yeah.
3,000.
Yeah, right. Again, the first year I wanted to.
You, me, and Doug wrote a lot of.
We watched a lot of movies. We watched so many Leprechaun movies. Doug loves the Leprechaun series. I'm going to try to get through this without doing too much of my terrible Irish accent.
Oh, please, because I can't do one.
Well, I can't either, but that's not going to stop me. Anyway, so let's talk about some of our favorite 7-word reviews. Mike, I will let you go first.
Okay, let's start with Angela Hager of The Thing. Friends' first time reaction, what the fuck?
Frank Dahlmeier of Puppet Master. Not one psychic saw this shit coming?
I'll go. I have a Frank Dahlmeier of Halloween 3. Atkins' best Bond we never saw coming.
I have one for Angela Hager. Look how we're doing this. Sleepaway Camp. I'm copying Angela, more like Mangela, right? And I was like, how did we never make that joke on our Sleepaway Camp commentary? So thank you, Angela.
TJ Mackey 432 of Prom Night. JLC's disco dance scene saves this movie.
100%.
Agree. And by the way, I have a hard time saying JLC. I don't know why that is. Every time I look at it, because there's, I think I have another JLC in here.
Wow.
It really trips me up, guys.
The great news about her scene in Prom Night is that it's the menu. If you buy the Blu-ray from Synapse or Severin, it's the Blu-ray menu, which means you never have to press play on Prom Night. You don't even have to watch Prom Night. Just put it in, enjoy the menu for a few minutes, and take it out and watch a Leprechaun movie. Yep. because you have to, because it's Scary Movie Month, and people expect it. It's funny because we, you know, we always play it a little bit close to the chest what franchise we're doing. This year we did not even try, and people can usually figure it out based on me and you watching all the same movies. But yeah, nobody. This is a surprise to no one that we're doing Leprechaun. Our friend Chaby of 7852 Hitchcock's shower scene, a documentary that I really want to watch and haven't yet.
Me too.
Bogdanovich needs to ditch this ascot fetish. Which I agree with.
But at this point, it'd be weird.
And it made me laugh because I was thinking of all your Bogdanovich jokes during our Blood Rage commentary, which made me laugh so hard.
Will Benson of May, a Lucky McKee joint, Mo Bettis Blues.
Alex Zier of Backcountry, have to bear with this campy thriller. Have you seen Backcountry?
I have not.
It's not great, but there is a bear attack that is the most brutal thing you've ever seen.
Will Benson again of Texas Chainsaw 2, Hopper uncannily like my uncle, he's incarcerated.
Jan Peters of Get Out, well, at least he quit smoking, right?
Frank Dahlmeier again of Halloween, fuck that neighbor who just ignores Lori. I picked that one because he's so right. That I mean, I guess that's the point.
That's JLC.
Yeah, it is. Don't make me say it. That bothers me every time I see it. So yeah, I'm with you, Frank.
Isn't that like that one case though? The woman who was being attacked that everyone ignored. You know the one I'm talking about.
Probably a lot of them.
There was a documentary that came out about it like a year or two ago. Stephanie Crawford, our very own Stephanie Crawford of Jigsaw. By now, the gore's a comfort blanket.
Miko Vinica? Am I saying that right? Hopefully. He did Halloween with commentary. Fun hearing, here we go, JLC getting scared by it, which we've talked about before.
It's the greatest. Oh, come on, John. That's scary.
At one point he says, you have seen this before, haven't you?
Oh, come on. That's scary. It's so cool. Brian Sager of Suspiria, this is one of my favorite of the month. These witches have, like, no plan, right?
I almost put that one.
That's amazing.
Talk about Charles, about Halloween 3. Tom Atkins' antics jumpstart feminism's third wave.
Our friend JP of Gravy, written and directed by Sykes James Roday. Expected a charming horror comedy, but psych.
Dan Snyder of one of my favorites, Rope. World's worst friends host awkward dinner party.
Michael Piccoli, friend of the site of Night of the Living Dead, 1968. Rednecks walking around like all lives matter.
I had one more, if that's all right.
I have three more.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Andrew B., save this one for last, of Leprechaun in the Hood. I'm so sorry.
Lindsay Wilkins of Halloween 3, Season of the Witch. I would go full robot for Atkins. Robin Buckley, who as of this week is now part of the team here at F This Movie, of The Babadook. Biggest takeaway, reading to children is bad. And that is the lesson of that movie. And then Ross says of Mirrors 2008, it's just that easy to watch, Patrick. And here's the thing. I was like, fuck. I forgot about Mirrors. Another Scary Movie Month has gone by, and I have not watched Mirrors. Ross, where were you earlier in the month to remind me to watch Mirrors?
Ross, that's very funny. I mean,
next year, I guess.
Listen.
Do you think next year is going to be my year?
Is there more than one Mirrors movie?
There is. There are two.
There's our franchise.
Mirrors 1 and 2. Somehow I'd still find a way not to watch Mirrors 1. And I'd be like, listen, you got to drive on this. Because I could speak to Mirrors 2. But man, I forgot to watch Mirrors. God damn it. Fuck.
Ross.
Right? You got to hit me up earlier in the month with that, Ross. It's not just that easy to watch. Anyway, you guys are so, so awesome, and we have had so much fun reading these all month long. Hopefully you have had fun writing them, reading them, listening to them on the podcast, listening to the joy that it brings us as we cackle after each one. Everyone that Mike read, I also read, but I laughed every time I heard him say one because it reminded me of how funny they are. So thank you guys so, so much. Super fun, and I can't wait to do it again next year. Mike.
Yes.
Have you seen anything scary lately?
I have. I've had a good month.
Out with it.
Let's see. I actually wrote down a bunch.
Good.
Because I always forget.
Yeah. Did you watch Mirrors?
No, I didn't. What's Mirrors?
Fuck. I don't know what it is. I haven't seen it.
If only somebody would recommend it.
Damn it.
All right. I'll go through. I'll try to go through these quickly. I started the month off with Raw.
Okay.
Have you seen Raw?
Yes, I have. I like it. Yeah. It's good.
Belko Experiment.
Which are we doing your whole month?
I'm fine with it. No. I'll skip
Let's
some.
Do it. The more you talk about what you've seen lately, the longer before we have to talk about the Leprechaun franchise.
Leprechaun's so next on my list.
Let's do 60 minutes on Raw.
Well, you and I discussed this off air. But and
yeah,
by the way, guys,
we talk off air. Okay, we're friends. It's cool.
We are.
Yeah. I've been waiting 7 years to hear you say that.
I have a feeling nothing will change. However, my big discovery, I would say, it was Italian horror.
Yes.
I'm not saying
bueno.
I'm completely hooked yet, but I feel like I needed to.
Actually, it's Buona. Is it Buona?
I'm sorry.
You're
excuse
Italian.
For an Italian. I have no idea. Everything I know about Italians comes from Super Mario Brothers. I feel like I needed
Krupa.
To...
Princess Toadstool. I sound like Dracula. That's not Italian at all. Anyway, sorry.
I want to fix your plumbing. It's Mario. Yeah, I feel like I needed to. I'd seen some Italian horror because being friends with you, couldn't not see it over the years. And I've never. It's not that I disliked Italian horror, but I think I needed to sort of get used to its
weirdness.
Yes. And I started with some Mario Bava.
Mm-hmm.
Super
Mario Bava.
Exactly. Like Kill Baby Kill, Black Sunday, which you were telling me is not giallo, but it's Italian horror.
It is. It's horror directed by an Italian.
A Bay of Blood. Those were all a lot of fun. And then I got to Deep Red and that movie. That might have been my favorite new discovery.
Nice.
The music's amazing. The visuals. I love style.
Yeah.
And these movies are loaded with it.
Yeah, they are.
So, yeah, that was my big discovery.
Okay.
I would say. And then a lot of, I mean, nothing super terrible that wasn't called Leprechaun. A lot of, like, okay movies, like Belko Experiment, I thought was okay.
Yeah.
Cult of Chucky was fun. Behind the Mask, it was the first time I'd seen it. I saw it once here.
Yeah, we watched it for a scary movie night.
Yes, and I liked it. And then I watched it again and liked it. Even more.
Oh, good.
The end, it doesn't lose me, but I don't love the last, let's say, 10 minutes where it becomes a chase.
Yes.
I usually don't love that.
Right.
Anyway.
Right.
But for the most part, I'm a big fan of it. And
yeah, me too.
Kind of hope they don't do a sequel.
They're trying.
I know they are. Then I revisited some classics that I had not seen in a long time, like Carrie,
mm-hmm.
which we discussed. That movie is something else. The Shining.
Nice.
Are you a fan of The Shining?
Yeah.
I like it a
for
lot.
For sure, yeah.
I
don't watch it as often as some other movies, but okay. Not because I don't think it's great, because it's great. I've never seen it on the big screen, though, and I really should, because there have been like so many opportunities, and I just never have.
Right. And then, yeah, you were laughing because I said that my wife and I have a couple movies that we have to watch together every October. And it's Halloween, Shaun of the Dead, The Exorcist, and Bram Stoker's Dracula. And we got one of them in so far, and that's Bram Stoker's Dracula.
Yeah, you did.
Which is just, again, it's a batshit crazy movie, but yes, it's a lot of fun. And I enjoy it. And
I have walked in the shadow of death. I love you too much.
I love it. And even this time around, I'm watching it. I'm like, Keanu's not that bad. Like,
he might be. I say this as the world's foremost Keanu fan.
You are. And I like Keanu too. And I have been in that chorus saying like, oh no, he's pretty awful. I'm not saying he's good.
Okay. I haven't watched it in a long time.
For whatever reason, watching it this time around. And again, I probably watch it once a year. Listen, my point is it took however many years, but it really grows on you.
I see what he's doing. I see.
Then I think this fits because it was a harder R than I had anticipated, but I got to see The Shape of Water.
Yes.
And I don't want to say too much about it other than to encourage people to please see it when it comes out. I thought it was really good. See it on a big screen. Wonderful performances, great score. The visuals, of course, Guillermo del Toro were wonderful. But again, harder R than I thought it would be.
They're not advertising it that way.
No.
Okay.
But interesting. Pretty, without giving anything away, like within the first few minutes, there's like a sexually explicit moment that was like, oh, this is, I'm on a different ride than I thought I was on. But
we're talking about like ladies banging fish monsters?
Again, don't want to say too much.
All right, then.
But no, I
was joking, but okay.
It's very, very good.
All right. I'm excited to see it.
Yeah. But no, it was a good, really, if it weren't for the Leprechaun franchise, it would have been a top-notch October.
Is Guillermo del Toro one of your favorite directors?
He is.
Okay. That's what I thought.
He is.
And what's your favorite movie of his? Is it Hellboy 2?
It's Hellboy 2 is up there.
Were you a Crimson Peak fan?
Yeah, I like Crimson Peak.
Okay.
Did
you like Crimson Peak even more after you watched, like, Kill Baby Kill?
Oh, sure. Well, yeah, I went back after I watched a bunch of Bava. Yeah. When I discover a filmmaker, whomever, I love going on YouTube and typing in their name, and all these, like, interviews with other filmmakers tend to pop up sometimes. So, yeah, so I found a bunch from Guillermo talking about the influence he had.
Yeah, there's a lot of it. There's a movie called Nightmare Castle that is not Bava, but it might as well be Bava. It's Barbara Steele. And there's a Blu-ray of it from, again, Severin or Synapse, one of those. But it's also on Shudder. But it would make an interesting double bill with Crimson Peak
because
there's a lot of similarities between the two. But it's well worth watching. And it is technically Italian horror.
To answer your question, though, maybe I'm a big fan of The Devil's Backbone and Pan's Labyrinth. There's none of his films I dislike, I would say, but those are probably my two favorite.
In terms of what I... Is that everything for what you've seen?
Yeah.
Okay. In terms of what I've seen since the last time I recorded one of these, which was not that long ago, I rewatched Slaughter High.
Okay.
Which... It just came out on Blu-ray through the Vestron Collectors series. And it was interesting watching it that way because the only way I've ever seen it is on like a 10-pack with a bunch of other budget movies. And it's like full screen and it looks like garbage, like a bad old VHS dub. So it's interesting seeing it proper widescreen in like 1080p HD. It's still not a very good movie, but it's certainly fun and the production is fascinating. It's was directed by three directors in England to look like an American high school. All of the characters, I mean, Carolyn Monroe, I think was 32 when they made it, and she's playing a high school student, and that's everyone in the cast. Just the least convincing high schoolers ever. It's goofy as shit, but it has a cool killer costume. It's like a jester costume, and it's fun in that early 80s slasher way.
Okay.
It's nice to see it get a good release, you know?
Yeah.
And then I watched a bunch of stuff with you.
I was going to say, we're really pulling back the curtain.
Yeah. We've spent all weekend watching movies together. So the other night we watched The Beyond.
Yes.
Which was your first time.
And yeah, it's so much fun.
Yes.
And that, I think, is my first Fulci. And I was really...
No, Zombie was
Oh, yeah,
first
Zombie.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's how that
Because that was the first time I saw it was at your house.
Zombie?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah.
Who knew?
In your old place.
Oh, wow.
We watched it one time because we were like, huh? Which sounds about right.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I was very taken aback by some of the violence. I don't like eye stuff.
You will not like any Fulci movies.
Oh, God. I go to the, I wear glasses.
So much eye trauma.
And I go, like, I'll go to the dentist. I'll go anywhere. I don't care, but I am the biggest baby when it comes to going to the eye doctor. It says in
like when
my...
when they blow the puff of air in your eye?
You have no idea. Like, my reflexes are unreal. Yeah, I am out of there.
Did it
like,
trigger you?
Yeah. And I... It says in my...
I hate it too, by the way.
No joke. I had a nurse once. She comes in. She's like, it says in your file that you're difficult. And I'm like, ma'am, I really... Like, I don't want to be. I want to get out of here. Like, I don't... I'm not trying to make this hard on you. I had a... whatever, I won't tell that story, but like...
Please tell that story.
I have a very hard time with the puff.
Yeah.
The eye thing. People get very... The nurses and whomever get very frustrated with me, and I tried this one nurse once was... And again, like, at this point, I'm a little late 20s, and she's, like, really, she talked me down. She was so wonderful, and, like, just this great demeanor, and she eventually got it. So then they stick me in the other room so I can wait for the doctor to come in. And I'm panicking because I know he's going to put like eye drops in my eye. And they bring in the littlest kid into the room to do the eye puff test. And she's talking to that kid the exact same way she was talking to me. And I was like, I may be a giant baby. So whatever, my point is I hate eye things and I don't like spiders. So The Beyond was
just
very rough.
Yeah, but it's an awesome movie.
It is. It was so much fun.
Yeah, it was really fun. And then we also watched Blood and Black Lace and, more importantly, Strip Nude for Your Killer, which is not a very good giallo, but it is a very fun giallo.
It's entertaining.
Yes, because it is just so sleazy. The hero of the movie is pretty much a rapist.
He's never not choking women.
Yes. And like the very first woman he encounters, he gets naked and starts having sex with almost immediately by really pushing himself on her. The movie ends with one of the craziest scenes in any movie ever.
Yep.
I literally picked that movie to show Mike just for the ending because I was like... He's not going to believe this. He's not going to believe what's
and
coming.
I did not.
So that was fun. And then last night we watched Beetlejuice.
Yep.
Which was a lot of fun. And I hadn't seen it in a long time.
Same here.
I didn't realize how many times I must have seen it as a kid because I have the whole thing memorized.
Yeah, absolutely.
As every scene unfolded, including every cue on the score, I was like, oh, I know this movie forwards and backwards.
Yep.
And yet it was not a movie I would have said, oh, I saw that so many times as a kid. I remember wanting to see it so bad that, like, I recorded sometimes back when E was called, like, Movie Time. They used to do a half-hour show that was just called Coming Attractions or something like that, and it was just previews. Trailer. Yeah. And so that's where I recorded the Batman trailer for the first time, and that's where I recorded the Beetlejuice trailer for the first time. And I would just rewind it and play it again and again, trying to, like... I did the same thing with the music video for Ghostbusters. Like, when I couldn't see the movie, I would just watch the clips that were in the music video and, like, try to piece together what happens in the movie based on what I see. I was like, okay, that's Rick Moranis' eyes are glowing red, so he must have looked into the trap, because right before was the shot of the trap opening and them turning their heads away from it. I was, like, piecing it all together. And so I remember doing the same thing with Beetlejuice when he comes out of the thing with Attention Kmart Shoppers. I was like, okay, let's figure out what that is.
Yeah, no, it is so much fun.
Yeah.
I like you, I have seen it a bunch of times. But I had the biggest smile on my face. And it ends on that musical number.
Yeah, for sure.
It's the best.
For sure.
Yeah, I'm on the hook for like early Tim Burton.
Yeah.
I really love a lot of his Pee-wee Beetlejuice. I just showed my daughter's Edward Scissorhands. I haven't seen that in a long time.
Was there a bad one prior to Ed Wood? Or is that the run?
Not that I can think of. I feel like that's the run.
Batman Returns is in there. Is there anything else?
I like Batman.
Batman, Edward Scissorhands, Batman Returns. Ed Wood is next?
I think so.
That might be the run then. Yeah. And then that's
And then
Sleepy Hollow I like. No, Sleepy Hollow's not next. Mars Attacks is next.
Oh, you're right.
But Sleepy Hollow I like. Right. And even Mars Attacks I find tolerable. It's not really until, I guess, Planet of the Apes where the jig is up.
Yeah. But he had a run.
We watched Soul Survivor, which was a movie that I first learned about listening to Killer POV, because Elwer Cain was talking about it, saying that it was this movie that he kind of discovered, directed by Tom Eberhardt. And I'm a big Tom Eberhardt fan because he did Night of the Comet and The Night Before with Keanu. So I'm a fan of his work and had never even heard of this movie. And it was very hard to come by. Code Red had been selling it on DVD, but it was really hard to find. And then they recently put it out on Blu-ray, so it's a lot more accessible now. So I picked it up on Blu-ray and watched it for the first time. And it's cool. I agree with everything he says about it seeming like a big influence on It Follows.
Yeah, that was mentioned a few times in here.
Yeah, it just has that same kind of creepy, hey, there's people who are showing up. But yeah, really interesting and really original for the time, and should be talked about more. I think
I agree.
It's weird that that was the first I'd ever heard of it. And then we watched Wish Upon.
Yeah.
Which, you know, what else can we say about Wish Upon except that it's this year's best horror movie
to start. And also, like, there were how many people here for that?
I don't know.
7, 8
Sure.
Something. It was a great movie to watch with a group of people. Like, it's that kind of movie.
Yes,
a lot of,
definitely.
Like, everyone had a lot of fun with it.
Yes, because it's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's ridiculous, but was a lot of fun.
I was very disappointed to discover that the longer director's cut, which John Leonetti had been teasing when the movie was originally released, because it was a PG-13, and he was like, well, I'm going to put out, you know, the longer uncut version on Blu-ray. So I was like, okay, doesn't really restore much violence, but more problematically, doesn't restore much Jerry O'Connell. And because I thought for sure that was one of the first things to hit the cutting room floor. When I saw it, I was like, huh? This must be one of those things that's going to be in the unrated cut. No.
No?
No. So I can only assume that he's part of the Wish Upon Origins spinoff that no doubt is coming.
Yep.
Which I'm excited about.
Oh, Adam Riske was ready to fund it himself.
Yeah, there is no bigger Wish Upon fan than Adam Riske. And it may just be because it has the word wish in the title. I don't know if that's specifically his jam.
But he made me laugh all night because every time there was a ridiculous line of dialogue, and there were a few, he would call out best original screenplay. It was funny.
Speaking of granting wishes, we watched a bunch of Leprechaun movies.
We're going to do this.
This scary movie month. And I really tried to space them out. Here's the good part about what we did this month. It made me appreciate and beat myself up for how hard I was on past franchises.
Yes.
Because
I'm sorry. Can we pause for a second?
Absolutely.
What franchises have we done? I was trying to think of this.
Saw. Friday the 13th.
Halloween.
Nightmare on Elm Street.
Living Dead.
Child's Play.
That's it.
I think
so.
Yeah,
that's six. Okay.
Okay.
All right. Sorry.
And I would gladly watch any of them 5 more times.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why I was so hard on them, because I think it just has to do with watching so many of them in a row. Although right now I would gladly watch every Friday the 13th in a row. I would gladly watch every Halloween in a row. And sometimes it's because they always end on a bad note. Not always. A lot of the time. Yes. Which is why they end, you know. The last Living Dead movie is not my favorite. The last Friday the 13th. I mean, I like Jason X, but, you know, you got to sit through Jason Takes Manhattan. And you got to sit through, like, Freddy's Dead and Halloween Resurrection. You know, you got to get through some shit. And so, I don't know. We were always, like, maybe a little bit tired. It was the end of the month, and I feel like I was harder on so many of those movies, many of which I like. Mm-hmm. You know, I think even Halloween 2, when we did our Halloween show, I was like, I don't know, man. Halloween 2, it's not very good. Like, I will fucking go to bat for Halloween 2 now. Like, I will watch it any day. almost any Friday the 13th. Like, what? I don't know what I was thinking, because we've seen some shit.
This, for me, is the worst franchise we've done.
Oh, there's, like, literally no question. Right. Because there's not a movie in it that I like.
Right.
Not a movie.
Nope.
And even Child's Play, like, I'm a much bigger fan of now, I feel like, because of Cult of Chucky. Mm-hmm. I still don't love Child's Play 3. I was listening to maybe an old episode of We Hate Movies, and they did a show on Child's Play 3, and they were like, well, this is the best one, right? Which I couldn't wrap my head around. I was listening to another podcast talk about the Saw franchise where they said Saw 6 is the worst one.
No.
I was like, it's fascinating to me that we all just have opposite opinions, right? Not wrong opinions, just not right ones. Leprechaun is the closest to a movie that's okay in this franchise.
Yeah, I would agree. Yeah, I would agree.
And I still am not crazy about it.
No, I'm not either.
But at least, I don't know. It's a weird mix of, like, on the one hand, it does try to make a leprechaun into a horror movie villain.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, a real leprechaun with, like, you stole me gold and I have to polish shoes. Which, that scene alone, I think, puts this movie at the top of the list when they're trying to get away from him, so they keep throwing shoes. And he has to stop and polish them. Yeah. And Warwick Davis's performance, he's like, oh damn, damn it. And like, he has to stop and he's compelled to shine the shoes. Is funny enough for me to be like, okay, Leprechaun, you're fine.
Are we on the first one?
Yes.
Okay.
Do you want to start before the first one?
No. I didn't know if you were just doing a general, like an overview, or
what would we talk about before the first one?
I didn't know if this was
like a bowl of Lucky Charms you ate as a kid.
I don't have any good Lucky Charms stories. I'm sorry.
If you're good at the eye doctor, I'll get you Lucky Charms.
But no, that's why I've never.
They're magically delicious. Tight.
The puff, like, why do they just leave my eye alone?
Right?
I need a puff of air.
Right? Are they ever like, puff, puff, and you're like, pass?
I'm always like, pass.
Puff, puff, pass. That's why we call him Puff, Puff, Pass, everyone. Also because he's a huge stoner. So, Leprechaun.
Okay.
Has the best cast in that it has Jennifer Aniston, mm-hmm. before she was famous, wearing the world's ugliest shorts. And I'm an expert on horror movie shorts.
You are.
I don't know if you know this about me, but I am an expert. And it has the dude from Summer School, the male stripper, mm-hmm. from Summer School,
right.
And it has Francis, mm-hmm. from Pee Wee.
Francis.
Right, exactly. And it has Warwick Davis as the leprechaun, and Jennifer Aniston's dad played Zach Morris's dad on like two episodes of Saved by the Bell, the one where they crash the car while drunk driving.
I love how much you love Saved by the Bell.
And the one where his dad is just not involved enough, basically. And his dad was like, I didn't realize, son. I'm so sorry. So let's talk about Saved by the Bell, because I don't want to talk about Leprechaun at all. It tries to be a horror movie, in a sense.
Well, it started out, it was supposed to be a kid's horror movie.
Oh, I didn't know this.
Yes, so they wanted, which is why I think it's fighting tones.
Mm-hmm.
No, it was originally, they shot it to be...
Oh, it was shot that way?
I believe, yes.
Oh.
This is what Warwick Davis said. That I believe it was shot that way. That it was going to be like a scary kid's movie. And then the producers or whomever got a hold of it and said, like, no, let's ramp it up. So they went back and reshot, I think, like, the scene where he gets pulled over and kills the cop.
Okay.
They added more gore.
Okay.
To give it an R rating.
Yeah,
it feels like, at times, like a kid's.
Yeah, but I think there's times where it's too scary for kids, which isn't to say that it's scary at all, but it just has a darker tone. But then, yeah, there's weird scenes where, like, the photography is sped up, and I'm just like, mm-hmm. what is this movie?
Yeah.
What, it couldn't decide. But again, is a masterpiece by the time we get to the end.
Yeah.
I will admit, I did not have a chance or the nerve to revisit Leprechaun Origins. I have seen Leprechaun Origins. I didn't watch it again.
Oh, see, okay.
And I'm sorry about this.
No, it's okay.
I didn't have a chance. It was a busy weekend. I was seeing Jigsaw today, so there was that.
Why didn't you talk about? Oh, you're gonna do it
because I was gonna review it. All yeah, right. But I'll tell you, it's okay. Here's the great news: it restores the franchise to the glory of Saw 4. It's about that good.
Risky said there's not a lot of Tobin Bell.
There's not, that's which you know, in a way, makes sense. As a Saw, I wouldn't say I'm an expert. I've seen enough of these movies that there were zero surprises. Okay. And yet it's a movie with three or four twists. Hmm. But I saw them all coming because I've seen enough of these goddamn movies.
Okay.
It's not the worst Saw movie. It's somewhere in the middle. So right about Saw 4, I would say, right? Like,
yeah.
That's kind of right in the middle, lower middle. Anyway, so I didn't get to see Leprechaun Origins again, but I do remember when I saw Leprechaun Origins, which at the time was like one of the worst horror movies I felt like I'd ever seen on that level, like where it's trying to be a real movie. It's put out essentially by a real studio. It's not an indie, you know. But I remember watching it and thinking like, oh, I've been far too hard on the original Leprechaun because that movie is so much better than this. And I think I still think that, but as someone who has watched them both, am I wrong?
That
the original Leprechaun...
No,
Origins is a huge step down...
From the
original Leprechaun.
Yes, it's a step down. Yeah, it's a step down.
Okay.
Maybe it's a huge... See, you told me before we started this...
Yes.
To start with... You thought maybe I should start with Origins.
Yes.
You thought...
Well, because it has the word origin in the title, and I was like, Mike's going to be confused if he doesn't understand where all this came from.
You told me you thought it's truly one of the worst.
Correct. When I said that, in my defense, I had never seen three of these movies.
Okay.
I had never seen In Space or either of the In the Hoods. So when I said, like, start with Origins... Surely it can't get worse, so it can only get better. I had not seen those three.
Are we just skipping to Origins? Are we skipping?
No, not at all. Not at all. We can jump around because, my God, we have to keep this interesting for ourselves.
I would say, no, it's not. Origins is not good. I was a little... I'm glad I waited till the end. I'm glad I did not listen to you. And I waited. I saw it last, and I was so relieved at first that there was a tonal shift.
Okay.
Because I was
just, sure.
I was tired of
the
previous six movies.
Right.
That I don't want to say it had me for a while, but it was a relief for a little while.
Okay.
But it pretty quickly turns to shit.
Yeah, I can't. I mean, I can't totally remember exactly why I hated it, except to say that like. Well, we're getting ahead of ourselves. I remember feeling like it squandered an opportunity, which is to say that there was an opportunity to reboot Leprechaun in a way. Right. It was the same reason that, you know, Jigsaw kind of disappointed me. Like, you guys had an opportunity here to do something new or different or interesting and, like, justify why you're bringing this back.
Yes.
And instead, you basically made something as good as Saw 4, you know?
Right.
Whatever. So Leprechaun. Anything you want to say about Leprechaun?
I thought I really enjoyed Jennifer Aniston.
Okay.
Once I got past, for the first few minutes, I'm just so hyper aware that I'm watching Jennifer Aniston. Does that make sense?
We all are.
Do you understand what I'm saying? Like,
I mean, I guess.
Like,
yeah.
It was strange to me. And I'd seen Leprechaun. I'd seen the first two before we watched this.
Okay.
And it turns out at least parts of Leprechaun in Space. I don't know how. But that was weirdly familiar to me. But anyway, no, I thought she was very good.
Yeah.
I liked her.
She's the closest thing to a good human character that we have in this franchise.
Yeah, absolutely. And I thought she could handle both tones that they kept switching back and forth to.
Yeah.
I thought it was fine. Like, I knew I had to take notes or I'm gonna forget half the stuff, and I too wrote like I like that he has to shine shoes.
Right,
like that part.
Right.
But there are things like there's a scene where they're beating, maybe a couple scenes where they're beating the leprechaun, and they're doing it in a wide enough shot that it looked like old wrestling videos that Adam Thosseri would make. So I never got past. I'm like, man, move the camera a little. Like, get in, disguise some of this. By the way, the director, Mark Jones, went on to direct Rumpelstiltskin. And that
this is his wheelhouse. Right. What's that? You got another horror movie about a little person who is evil based on a classic little folk character? Okay. Yeah, I've never seen Rumpelstiltskin, by the way.
That made me laugh.
But
pretty.
That's hilarious. Like when they called him to do Rumpelstiltskin. Do you think he was resentful or was he happy for the work? Was he like, cool, this I'm this guy now? Or was he like, God damn it, guys, do not pigeonhole me. I refuse to be the guy who just makes the little person horror movies. Seven Dwarfs Revenge, my ass.
Good, I was trying to think of another one to make a joke.
Don't you worry, I got it.
Yeah, pretty uninspired kills, but that's like throughout the franchise.
Oh my God.
You're like,
which is weird because they could do anything, you know, especially by part three, it's Wishmaster. You know, it's like he has you wish for something and then he twists that around on you and that's how he kills you.
Right.
In the first one, it's not really like that. He's just like trying to bite Francis's ear, basically. Right. And again, they're still trying to sort of make him scary in the first one. And if it had stopped here, it would just be like, oh, it's this horror movie that I've seen and is fine, but I don't care about, you know, like a typical early 90s, like, oh yeah, they made a movie once about a killer leprechaun. Who gives a shit?
Right.
Warwick Davis is having fun. I'm happy that he's got the work.
Mm-hmm.
Did he play Rumpelstiltskin? Did they
re-team? I don't know. I mean, he was making these every year for a while.
Is he like the De Niro to that guy Scorsese, who's like, what's this? Oh, you have movies about Italian Catholic guilt? All right, Scorsese's your guy. You got a thing about little people, killer monsters? Yeah. Okay, Mark Jones, is that his name?
Yep.
He's your guy, so give him a call.
Jones is like, get me Davis.
The band's getting back together, Davis. Rumpelstiltskin just came across my desk. I don't know why Mark Jones talks like this, but he does.
And there's our impression for the podcast.
Leprechaun, baby. Do you think they went to him with Leprechaun 2? And he was like, I'm all tied up in pre-production on Rumpelstiltskin. And they're like, that's our main competition, Mark. Sorry, guys. I got to flex these muscles. He sounds a little bit like the worst Frank Sinatra impression.
Come fly with me, Davis. We're going to bring stilts to the big screen.
Stilts. Is that what Warwick Davis calls him, too? Just when he's talking about... Back when I was on stilts, I remember at craft services.
I felt so bad because I was
kept being in these movies.
Yeah, and I, you know, by the end, I'm like, I hate Warwick Davis, and that's not fair at all. And then I watched because I go on YouTube and type shit in. I typed in Leprechaun or something just to see what would pop up, and there was...
You should type the word porn after it. Leprechaun porn. For sure it exists, right? Like, somewhere out there, there's leprechaun porn.
Well, you know, Rumpel Foreskin.
Oh, look at you.
Yeah, but Warwick Davis was...
They're sullying my work with this Rumpel Foreskin. We gotta shut it down.
Warwick Davis, he was like at a convention doing a Q&A, and he was asking people to give him leprechaun lines, and he would say them back in his leprechaun voice, and it was just so like charming. And I'm like, oh, like,
I guess.
Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Would you think that's more sad than?
Yeah, I guess.
It's so nice. Like,
yeah, no, he's a very nice person. Yeah. Sure, yeah, absolutely. Who has a favorite leprechaun line, by the way?
People were throwing, because when he said it, I was like, I don't know that I can think of any, but people were throwing out something by Ninja that was thrown out right away.
Oh, God damn it. God damn these movies. So, here, and that's part of the problem with this franchise, is that I feel like fairly quickly, probably right after part three, it becomes a thing that can only be enjoyed ironically.
Right.
It's all zombie versus shark, which right. Fulci didn't put that into the movie, ironically. He put it into the movie because he was like a syphilitic crazy person. I mean, not really, but he was, you know, he was a lunatic who was like, I want to see the zombie fight the shark. And it happened. And now everybody's like, oh, zombie versus shark, dude. That's all you gotta know.
Question, is it a little person zombie? Because I got ideas. Could he fight a minnow? This stuff just flows out of me. I can't. Anyway.
Go ahead. You give me a horror icon. I'll make him small. I got a mini werewolf script. He turns into a werewolf at a half moon.
The cutest damn werewolf you've ever seen.
But it becomes this thing that it can only be enjoyed ironically.
Right.
And what are we doing? You know what I mean? Like, yeah. By the time we're in space and in the hood, it's like, these are just movies for assholes. And I know people like them, and I know that's not fair. I'm not suggesting you're an asshole if you like these movies, because who am I to say that something brings you joy, it brings you joy. But there's just something so cynical about making these movies that, like, are just meant to be enjoyed ironically.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
I don't know. Leprechaun 2 is directed by Rodman Flender.
Yes.
Who is a good director and a very nice person. And if you've never heard his episode, I think of Killer POV. Maybe it was Shockwaves. I don't know. But he's a great guest. And he has great, like, Roger Corman stories. And would go on to make Idle Hands, which is an enjoyable movie.
Yeah, that is.
Leprechaun 2, less so. Not the worst movie, Leprechaun 2.
No.
At times, I was like, I feel like this might be a better Leprechaun movie than Leprechaun, but ultimately it's not.
Right.
Because one of my issues with this franchise, and gosh, I have so many, there's no rules whatsoever.
No.
There's not any consistency between the movies. So it's like they could be about anything. They just happen to be a leprechaun. And this is especially true when we get to, like, In Space. Yep. And In the Hood. Mm-hmm. These could be any monster, any villain, and they're just like, eh, let's make it the leprechaun.
Right. There's no connection to the previous films. Like, whenever I kept waiting for one of the movies when he would, you know, inevitably come back in the movie. I was waiting for them to address how he perished in the previous movie and maybe how that resurrection occurred. But I don't think there was ever a connection.
No. They exist completely independently of one another.
Right.
And again, there's just zero rules. So you don't know what the leprechaun can or can't do.
They're constantly changing.
What can and can't kill him. It just, none of it makes any goddamn sense.
Right. even his powers. Like, oh, I don't, yeah, like, yeah. He can, you know, disappear and be in a, you know, make himself disappear and wind up in a cabinet across the room, but he can't find his fucking coin. Like, he's terrible. I think this is one of my stupid 7-word reviews, but he's, like, terrible at being a leprechaun.
Yeah.
Like, it just, somebody get him a fucking lockbox, and we would have been.
And so often, it's, like, one coin that he's after. Right,
all the time.
Yeah. I mean, by Back to the Hood, it's like a lot of coins, but in the first few, he's just after, like, the one coin.
But okay, for Leprechaun 2, I wrote his bride must sneeze 3 times? Question mark. Am I, like, now that I'm looking at that, I barely remember it. Yeah, I don't remember. I wrote every scene is too long. I wrote sexual predator leprechaun sucks. Like, I don't remember.
Yeah, I don't even remember, like, the whole gist of Leprechaun 2, because it was so many movies ago.
It was. It opened in Ireland.
Okay.
I wrote his bride must sneeze 3 times.
I remember the lead actor, because I wasn't a huge fan. And again, he just has a kind of an unplayable part. But I feel like as a whole, the male leads of this series are very weak.
Oh, yeah.
The female leads tend to be better.
Right.
But 2, 3, and 4 begin a fascinating and kind of disturbing trend, which is that they are these blonde women who are almost interchangeable.
Sure.
They look so much alike.
Yep.
And they are all asked to more or less humiliate themselves on camera by mm-hmm. being costumed in a certain way and being yeah. asked to do certain things that was, and I don't know if this is just exacerbated by the fact that we're post Harvey Weinstein, but like,
it doesn't help.
I was feeling bad for all of these actresses as I watched this movie,
especially in Leprechaun 3.
Yes.
Because she's in that
scene where she's like hypnotized yep. and yep. the guy's going to rape her.
Yep.
Yes, 100%. But then I again felt it, I feel, during Leprechaun in Space, because at one point the blonde lead actress is like very scantily clad and like covered in oil or glycerin to look like she's sweating. And I'm just like, what are we doing? What are we doing?
Right.
Like, I don't know. I understand that that is a component of horror films for a lot of people, sort of the TNA quotient, right? But like,
but Leprechaun did it badly.
Yes, and wouldn't own up to it in a way that Friday the 13th does.
Sure.
You know, and don't ask your female hero to do that. Yeah. I don't know. The whole thing just bummed me out.
No, I agree.
Everything about these goddamn movies bummed me out.
I read that Denise Richards was a contender for the lead in Leprechaun 2.
Well, I would say that it was the best thing that ever happened to her not getting it.
Right.
But
and apparently it's the only Leprechaun movie to take place on St. Patrick's Day.
Could have fooled me.
Right?
I don't know. It's, again, it's like not the worst. The only scene I can remember is like the uncle who wishes for a bunch of gold and then it's in his stomach. And that was very upsetting.
Yes. Do you remember how it ended?
No.
Because I wrote... I don't mean to be annoying and read my notes.
But no,
I wrote,
I'm glad you took notes.
I wrote that abrupt ending, but I don't know what that means. That's aggravating.
Okay. No, I do remember. They blow up the leprechaun. They like trick him and blow it up because in this version, the leprechaun can also take the form of other people because he pretends to be the blonde woman. As you said, like he has indescript powers that I don't understand. So now he can pretend to be other people. And the male lead, whose name I think is Cody, knows that it's not really the girl. Anyway, they get away and the leprechaun explodes and he still has one more coin. And they're like, she says, are you going to keep it? He goes, nah. And he throws it down and the movie ends.
Okay.
So it's not even like he throws the coin down and then that tells us that like, oh, now the leprechaun's going to come back right. Because he got his coin back. It's just he just throws it away. Credits. I don't know.
Okay. All right.
It's not an obvious setup for a sequel, nor is it dramatically or emotionally satisfying. It's right. just a thing that happens,
right.
And then the movie ends because it has to.
But I did not like Leprechaun 2. So pretty quickly in this watch, I was like, oh no.
Yeah. No, I didn't like it, and it might be the second best Leprechaun movie.
Right.
And I already didn't like it.
And let me say this. I was kind of looking forward to doing Leprechaun because I'd only seen... like I said, the first two. So I thought, okay, even if the other five are not good, at least they're new to me. So that's always
something
to look forward to.
For sure.
But no, that my tune changed quickly.
And again, is this like next year we do Hellraiser and we're like, oh, we were too hard on the leprechauns because we had to watch them all in close succession and like, I don't know. But
this is probably never an ideal way to do this.
No, I guess not, but I can't ever see myself going back to any of these movies.
No, I agree.
Which is a bummer because I own all of them.
Yes.
You do too.
Yeah,
we both own the Leprechaun mm-hmm. collection.
Yep.
Which I bought, you know, not really knowing or liking most of the Leprechaun movies, but I was like, what's that? I can own all of the Leprechaun movies in one set. Yes, please. For the same reason I own the Wishmaster and Warlock collections. I got those to review. Actually, I didn't buy those, but still, I own every entry in these franchises that I am not crazy about. So we get to Leprechaun 3, which is the Vegas one.
Yeah. What are your thoughts on?
Again, not good.
No.
But watchable.
I found it, especially for the first maybe half, I found it very watchable. But this started a trend. This was the first Leprechaun movie that I would go long periods of time completely forgetting about the leprechaun.
Yes.
Because he made very little impact.
Well, and again, this doesn't have to be a leprechaun. It's in Vegas. Has nothing to do with a leprechaun. Right. I mean, he does grant wishes the way that, like, the Wishmaster would and then right. turn them on the people. But there's nothing that's leprechaun specific
right.
in this movie where it needed to be a leprechaun. It could have just mm-hmm. been any little – it could have been an evil genie, right. you know? I don't do genie movies. What do I look like?
I can't. You ever seen a little genie? Neither have I. Next.
You call somebody else for your genie picture. I work with small actors. Not small ideas. So I don't.
Oh, you know that's on his business card.
So Leprechaun 3 does have Caroline Williams.
Yes, who is a lot of fun.
Yes. And, you know, is again, I'm such a fan of Caroline Williams that when she meets her demise in this movie, I'm just like, oh, you're better than this, yeah. you know, like,
I know.
But good for her because she commits to this 100%.
100%.
And she is a lot of fun.
She is.
I thought the female lead in this movie was very appealing.
Yes.
I don't just mean physically. I mean, no. I thought she was a. She was really good to the point where I looked her up and said, like, hey, what else did she do?
I did the same thing and was surprised to find out.
Like, go ahead.
Nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing.
This ruined her for acting.
Yeah, that bummed
me. She's the one who then went on to be the Stern intern, right?
Yeah, I was wondering if it was before or after.
I believe it was after.
Oh, really?
Yeah, which I wonder if that ever came out on the show. Like, hey, we just found out.
Did you know Robin. She was a certain intern?
No.
Before?
No,
yeah,
no.
Yeah, I did not.
No. And I'm wondering, like, was she in the intern beauty pageant? Like, was she a part of the right. show? Was she, did she hang out with Grillo?
Grillo. Top shelf
you
liquor.
Douche. What? It was top shelf liquor.
Top shelf liquor. Fuck you, Grillo.
You douche. You're a loser. So I wonder if it came up on the show, though. Like, hey, we just found out you were in Leprechaun 3. But yeah, she's really good. And you watch it and you're like, she should have a career. What's that? Oh, she left acting right after Leprechaun 3. Well, who could blame her?
Right.
Because she is humiliated in this movie by, you know, being forced to be hypnotized and, like, throw herself at her gross, sleazy boss.
That was awful.
She's working as a magician's assistant the whole time. She's, like, far too scantily clad. You just want to cover her up the whole movie. This is the first of two Leprechaun movies? Because he didn't do Leprechaun in the Hood, right? Brian Trenchard-Smith did 3 and 4.
3 and 4.
And I'm usually a Brian Trenchard-Smith fan, but I don't really feel like he brings any of his kind of his insanity to this movie. You know, it's insane in that it's stupid and it's about a leprechaun, but like it's competently made.
Mm-hmm.
But his best movies are real wacky, and this movie, you know, Man from Hong Kong or Dead End Drive-In or Turkey Shoot, you know, and this movie is not any of those. It's just, he's just kind of a hired gun.
It's
you
a
know?
Bizarre movie. There's at least 2 healthcare jokes.
Well, it's way ahead of its time.
Right? That's what I thought.
What, are we making political statements here? That's why you don't hire an Australian to do an American's job. He's not Australian, right? He's British? What is he?
I don't know.
He might be Australian. I feel bad. Sorry, Brian Trenchard-Smith. I'm a fan, but I just might have messed up your nationality. But
The Leprechaun is back to rhyming again in this movie, which, if you notice, was like every other movie.
Because there's just no goddamn rules.
No, that drove me insane.
And again, this is not me like demanding too much from a Leprechaun movie, but
sorry.
There are 7 of these goddamn movies. Like, take the tiniest amount of care and just, even Warwick Davis, just like be the gatekeeper of your own character and be like, you guys, a leprechaun would never say that. Because what are we doing? What do we do? Every time it's different. The character is completely different. This is the one, really, the first time where he's basically looking into the camera and winking and, like,
yes.
doing Elvis impressions because the leprechaun is very familiar with Elvis.
Speaking of which, if you don't mind, there are 2,
I don't
at
mind.
Least 2 moments where, and whatever, not for nothing, but there are two moments that I saw where there are shots of the leprechaun where he is completely out of focus. And I, like, at one point, I even paused the movie because
I take back what I said about it being competently made.
I paused the movie at one point. I called my wife in and was like,
"Look at this.
Is this?
He's out of focus.
Am I losing it, or is he out of focus?" And she confirmed, guys,
out of focus.
Out of focus.
Yes. Oh,
and one of
shit.
Them was like, "I believe in the Elvis scene when he's talking to Elvis." They cut to the leprechaun, and he is not in focus.
I'm very sorry, but I just pulled up Brian Trenchard Smith's Wikipedia page. Guess what it says?
What?
Brian Trenchard Smith is an English-Australian film and television director. Not fucking helping Wikipedia. Just like, yeah, he's both. Like, come on. I'm trying to fact check, and you're just like, listen, you were right kind of both ways. Not fucking... I know he made a lot of his movies in Australia, which is why I thought he was Australian.
That would make sense.
Wikipedia not helping. But yeah, he's the only director to make two of these goddamn movies.
Yep.
This is also the movie that features the lead male character turning into a leprechaun
yes.
for most of the movie, which is an astoundingly stupid idea.
Yeah.
He's a were-leprechaun? Like, what is this?
Right.
What? Again, maybe I give it points for doing something kind of different.
Right.
But it's so dumb, and it's so, again, poorly realized that...
How tall is he? Strike one. Too tall.
Next, you guys are going to tell me to put my Rumpelstiltskin on real stilts. What is this bullshit? I can't work like this.
Do you think he watches Game of Thrones and it's just like, Dinklage? Where have you been?
You and me could have gone places. I got so many little monsters you could play. Tiny invisible man. Small creature from the Black Lagoon.
Really, it's a pond.
Phantom. Phantom of the Operette. I don't think that's a thing.
I'll make it a thing, goddammit. You and me, Dinkles.
So stupid. Leprechaun 3, I would say, has like the closest to the like creative deaths in the movie. And again, because it's essentially just borrowing from... It's not borrowing from Wishmaster because it actually predates Wishmaster, but it's that same idea where bad people wish for things and then it's used against them, basically.
I even thought like the casino owner's death was very Freddy-esque and that Leprechaun was on the TV.
Yeah, but like, is that Bokeem Woodbine? Like, what's he doing in this movie?
Right?
And isn't there a whole scene where like a bunch of people in the casino are dying? Near the end of the movie? Am I remembering
this? No,
every year
right.
this happens, right? Every year we're like, I don't know. I just watch these goddamn movies and I can't remember. Yeah, I feel like there was like a big casino. But now I think I'm confusing it with Wishmaster. And Bokeem Woodbine is probably in Wishmaster. Yeah, he is. I'm confusing it with Wishmaster. Sorry, everyone. Maybe Wishmaster 2? So, yeah, I'm confusing it with Wishmaster 2.
Okay.
Leprechaun 3, how does he... I don't remember how the casino owner dies.
Remember, he's like...
Is he the guy who, like, rapes the girl?
Yes.
Okay.
And then he's in his room, and there's, like, a robot naked woman who... But remember, like
I don't remember a robot naked... I just watched this fucking movie, like, last week.
But she, like, comes out of the TV, if I remember correctly. And, like, he's hallucinating, but the leprechaun's on the TV... playing some sort of character. I don't know. Just give me a Freddy vibe. That's all.
I don't remember it at all.
Yeah, you're
so
fine.
That's
you're
what
fine.
A terrible human being I am.
Oh, you're fine.
I remember Caroline Williams, like, exploding.
Yeah.
And I remember the magician dying on stage.
Oh, yeah. He was chopped in half, I believe.
Yes, right? And whatever. Again, it's, like, the closest to being... memorable that the series gets, even if it's not actually quote-unquote good.
I think it was the last time I had any sort of interest in any character or...
Right. Yeah, well, for sure. Bokeem Woodbine was in Wishmaster 2 as like the pit boss of a casino, and that's where the casino slaughter is.
Gotcha.
So
gotcha.
You understand why I'm confusing these movies, because they both have people, villains who grant wishes and are set in casinos, because that's where people go to make wishes. Vegas. That fucking Elvis joke, I was like, this is a new low. And guess what? It goes way lower. Way lower. Because by the end of the next movie, he's like on stage rapping, right? No, not next one. Next one's in space.
Yeah,
but
we have two to go.
At the end of In the Hood, he's he's doing like a full rap concert.
Yes. Because I wrote, oh my God, is this ending on a Leprechaun rap?
It is. Yep. It is. And again, this is the kind of shit that's just meant to be enjoyed ironically. So what are we doing, you know? Mm-hmm. Anything else about Leprechaun 3?
No.
Okay. It's weirdly, the Trenchard Smith movies are weirdly, bright. Like, they're almost photographed too well, where there's no actual atmosphere. Mm-hmm. They're just, the lighting is kind of bright and flat, almost like a 90s comedy.
Sure.
Which I think is a weird choice for a horror movie. And I get that these are meant to be horror comedies, but they're never funny or horrifying. So what are we talking about? But yeah, I remember feeling like both had a similar look. And it's especially jarring in the spaceship one because we're in space and you would just think they would go a little moodier just if we're going to steal from Ridley Scott, except instead of an alien, it's a fucking leprechaun. But no, it's everything's just bright and flat.
Yep.
All right, so Leprechaun in Space.
This is when I broke.
Okay. Why? What was it that made you break?
I don't know. And
just
I
the movie sucked.
Felt bad because our friend of the site, Brent Peterson, who's awesome. I love that guy. But he had messaged me saying that I think Leprechaun 4 was his favorite. And I was about 10 minutes in and I messaged him on Twitter saying that I think I hate it. I felt bad. And then I apologize. I'm like, I didn't need to tell you that. But I really was about 10 minutes in. I'm like, oh, I can't do this. Like, there's something about just that aesthetic that you were touching on that it didn't bother me in Leprechaun 3, but in this movie, I was like...
Well, because it doesn't work for a spaceship
no,
movie.
No, it doesn't.
And again, what are we doing? What are we doing? Because there's no reason why we have to do a Leprechaun movie set on a spaceship.
Right.
And there's no reason that this spaceship horror movie needs to have a leprechaun as its villain. So it's really like they found an existing sci-fi horror script.
That's what these movies feel like.
And decided, oh, let's just make it a leprechaun because we have the name. And Warwick Davis had a falling out with, what was the guy's name? The director of the first movie.
Oh, God, I've got
Smith,
it right.
Like,
Mark Jones.
Warwick and Mark had a falling out, and so they're not working together anymore. So Warwick's available for our leprechaun in space. Like, Jason X went to space, right?
Mm-hmm.
It was stupid, but they spent a lot of time explaining why Jason was in space.
Right.
And what his history was. And again, you know, the practical reasoning behind that whole thing was they needed to do a sequel that wouldn't screw up Freddy versus Jason. So they're like, well, let's just jump hundreds of years in the future and do Jason in space. And I enjoy that movie. But it exists as part of the franchise, even if it exists way outside of the franchise.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, Jason is a character and there's continuity, sort of. At no point. And again, even his background is different now because now it's about his... the princess who's going to be his wife or something so we skipped the whole wife thing in 3 because that was a big part of 2.
Yep.
Skipped it in 3, which then was about gold again. No, what I mean in 3, what's he fucking after?
It was gold again. Wait, he was wearing the medallion. He was brought into a pawn shop, right?
In 3? That's 2, I think, because doesn't the uncle own the pawn shop? What is wrong with us? No, again, those of you who love this franchise, and I know that people grew up on these movies, and so they hold these movies in high regard. I get it.
No, but in 3, there's a computer program that's trying to spell out his mythology, and I feel like it was a dude in a pawn shop. Yeah.
Oh, it is. It is. That's right. You're absolutely right.
And they
I forgot about the dude in the pawn shop.
He's wearing a medallion.
Yes. Anyway.
Yeah, why
so now we're back to the wife who's like a princess.
Yeah, yes.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I, like, I don't know. I don't know what we're doing. And again, I think the female lead in this movie, who I think is like a soap opera star, is better than the material.
Mm-hmm.
Miguel Nunez shows up and just to make us feel bad.
Right.
He's like, hey, man, when you were having diarrhea on a public toilet from enchiladas and getting speared as you sang that haunting melody, ooh, baby, ooh, baby. That was so much more dignified than anything that he does in Leprechaun 4 in space.
And Leprechaun even, like, he gets resurrected through a dude's dick.
Yes. And why again?
I don't know. Maybe that's funny.
Is it supposed to be a joke about Alien? Like, because in Alien, the monster comes out of John Hurt's stomach. So it's like, well, rather than have the leprechaun come out of a dude's stomach, what if he comes out of his dick? Because I'm an 8-year-old and dicks are funny.
There you go.
That was the only thing I could think of during that scene. I was like, why do this? Maybe it's an Alien joke.
No,
just not a good one.
Right.
But
that's probably it.
Until you mentioned that, I forgot that he was resurrected.
That's how he's resurrected.
Through a dude's dick.
And yeah, he lost a princess instead of a coin this time. Like, the nudity is gross.
Yes.
In this movie. Like,
yes.
It's gratuitous. Again, like, they don't know.
Well, the two Brian Trenchard Smith movies are sleazy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
In a way that is, again, at odds with, like, the dumb comedy and Warwick Davis's shticky Catskills performance. And, like, so now the whole thing is like a weird mix of things that don't work together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because that's how we get that gross rape scene in 3 and how we get gross nudity and stuff in this movie is because Trenchard Smith is kind of a sleazy filmmaker because he comes from 70s exploitation.
Yeah.
And so that makes sense in that context, but in these Leprechaun movies, it doesn't make sense at all.
Right. And this movie even fails on, you know, they introduce an idea like they made the leprechaun big and do nothing with it. Like, nothing.
All I could think of was the end of Dude, Where's My Car? Where, like, the girls all join together and make that one giant woman. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, yeah.
Just so we can get, like, a gross upskirt shot. Yeah, there's like a sort of a cyborg dude who then becomes some weird spider monster,
right?
Okay. I mean, again, in some ways it has more going on than previous Leprechaun movies. The deaths are all super boring. It's just people getting killed on a spaceship.
Yep.
It's not like, or, the, you know, a leprechaun coming out of their dick. But they're all, for the most part, boring, and it shouldn't be a leprechaun.
No, there's a fucking shootout with the leprechaun. I don't want to see the leprechaun
have
a shootout.
Right. Like, why is this a leprechaun movie at all? It could have been anything.
Yep.
It could have been any, you know, well, whatever.
I would have put him in inner space.
Hey, you want to shrink down Dennis Quaid? Put him on a ship.
I'm your guy.
But you got to make him, like, really small. I've done little people. I'm ready to go smaller.
I want quarter Quaid.
And regular size Martin Short. This guy's so mad he didn't get inner space. Are you fucking kidding me? A tiny Quaid and Martin Short? How could you let anybody else direct that picture? a male lead that I just could not have been less. I mean, if they had replaced him with a mannequin, I would not have noticed.
Right.
And the fact that there's sort of a burgeoning romance between him and Jessica Collins, I was like, am I supposed to give one shit about this? At least they had the good sense to not kill Miguel Nunez.
Because
I was like, oh, I'm so sad that he's in this. At least he doesn't have to suffer the indignity of dying in Leprechaun in space. He gets to survive to the end of the movie. Because I thought when that robo-spider thing mutated that was the end of him.
Sure.
But it wasn't. He makes it to the end. Thank goodness. And this is the movie that ends with the leprechaun flicking off the everyone, basically, telling you exactly what he and the movie thinks of all of us.
Message received.
And again, I'm an asshole for not liking these movies, right? Because they keep Warwick Davis employed. He seems to enjoy doing them. It can't be, like, fun to be under all that makeup all the time. He has to know that the scripts are kind of bad, but to his credit, he never phones it in.
No, not at all. No.
And so, good for him.
Right.
You know, but I just can't enjoy it. I would much rather watch Willow again.
Right.
Or that Ricky Gervais show that I didn't watch, right? Life is Short, right, is that what it was? Yeah. I did not watch that show and probably won't, but good for him for doing something
like Willow, by the way?
I haven't watched it in a long time. I loved it as a kid.
See, I didn't grow up with that. I watched it for the first time. My wife did, and she showed it to my family a couple months ago, maybe.
That was your first time seeing Willow?
I'd never seen that. How was that possible? Maybe bits and pieces of it. I know. I don't know.
Oh, my gosh.
I loved me some Val Kilmer.
Yeah. Did you like it?
It's all right.
Yeah. Yeah.
but yeah, I love me some Val Kilmer, so I got to watch
And he's
him
great in the movie, and he's a lot of fun in that movie.
He is.
There's some cool stuff in that movie. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I loved it as a kid. I like listened to the score on cassette, and I read the novelization.
I dug the score.
Yeah. But yeah, that's an example of like Ron Howard directing by way of George Lucas.
Yeah.
And even he has kind of talked about that, which again, nobody says Lucas really directed Willow, even the way they do about Poltergeist. But same situation, you know.
Right.
A producer's heavy hand having a great influence on the way that, what's his name, has a heavy hand on the whole Leprechaun franchise. Mark Jones, writer and director. I mean, that dude gets a paycheck every time they make one of these sequels.
Yeah. God bless him.
Right? Because he created this character. And so, and then he had to watch them take it to space and take it to the hood. And he's just like, you guys are killing my baby. I'm laughing all the way to the bank. It's a tiny bank. I only deal with things that are small. I want small bills.
I'll even take those $2 ones. I don't care.
That's as big as they get. $2 denomination, no bigger.
He just smokes.
I only eat finger food. Everything has to be small with him. You ever see that show, Tiny Houses on TLC? That's my jam.
Those are fucking mansions compared to what I live in.
He's a full-size guy who just crams himself into this little doghouse.
Oh, we have more.
And then we go to the hood.
Yep.
For the next two movies.
Oh.
I can't say for sure because I did not rewatch Origins.
Okay.
Of the ones that I watched, this was the worst. Which surprised me because this one had Ice-T.
Right.
Who I, you know, again, when I think back to like New Jack City and I was like, Ice-T's acting and he's so great in New Jack City. He's so authentic. And now he's just like this weird cartoon of himself, like a punchline.
Yep.
And then he's in Leprechaun in the Hood. And, you know, I think is in on the joke, but like, why do you need to be in on the joke? Why does there need to be a joke?
Right.
Why do I need to be here for this joke? Can you guys make this joke without me? Please don't make the rest of us participate in this joke. Keep it between all of you.
I thought it was so weird that the movie opened with the same way the first movie opens, with like a different voiceover. It's a shot of the leprechaun walking into a cave.
Right.
For whatever. I just thought that was...
But now, instead of coins or a wife or a medallion, all of a sudden, it's a flute.
Mm-hmm.
A magic flute.
I honestly had to stop and think, like, this had to have been introduced previously, and I've already
forgotten
about it.
No. So is this someone saying, hey, listen, we've already done gold medallions, and we've already done gold coins, and he can't possibly be after those things again. We've already done space princesses, so he can't be after all of these things. We got to change it up. Well, how about a magic flute?
Does he have to be after something? Well, I guess, I mean, I understand you have to give him motivation it was just always about him losing something.
Correct.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, again, which is why you just felt like a shitty leprechaun. Like, you're shitty at being a leprechaun. Like,
well, think about really the motivation of Michael Myers or Leatherface or Jason or Freddy. It's like, I want to kill people.
Right.
That's their motivation.
Right.
The leprechaun doesn't seem to have that motivation.
No.
So killing is just a fringe benefit?
I guess.
But he seems to take such joy in it that, like, maybe he's losing shit on purpose. Maybe he just keeps deliberately misplacing stuff. Oh, no, I lost me gold again. Looks like I'll have to kill some people. Because, yeah, there's no other explanation for his total irresponsibility as a leprechaun.
Yeah. It's really aggravating.
I did not like this movie at all.
No. He's back to rhyming. I want to point that out.
Correct.
No. I didn't either. It was...
I thought it looked like shit.
Yeah, it wasn't well made.
No. I thought it was poorly shot. I thought the sound was bad. Uh-huh. There's just scenes of the leprechaun in broad daylight where I'm like, what is... This does not work. Nope. Even a little bit. And here's something, and I don't know, because I don't know who these actors are, and I've never seen them in other stuff, with the exception of Ice-T. But watching this movie and the next movie, I was feeling bad for some of these actors who are asked to give specific stylized performances and speak dialogue that really seems to be, and again, I could be wrong about this, so those of you who are well-versed in the Leprechaun franchise are like, hey, Bromley, quit playing the race card. It seemed like a white person in the 90s version of, like, this is how black people talk.
I agree, because I had to look up on IMDb who wrote it, who directed it, because I had the same impression.
And I felt bad, because I was just imagining these actors not talking like this, mm-hmm. and then being asked to play these parts,
sure.
to play these, like, 90s urban stereotypes, and being like, okay, I'll do it, it's a paycheck, whatever, but it's embarrassing to me to have to do that, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah.
That's what I was thinking of for much of the movie.
No, I agree.
With characters named Postmaster P.
Postmaster P.
Which they, like, try to make a joke out of, but not really, right? Because their whole thing is positivity.
Yeah, that's his thing. It's a weird movie. And, like, there's...
Did you say bad?
It's a bad, weird movie. Like, the scene in the church. So I wrote this down. Like, the rap, or the song they're singing, or the rap they're doing. The chorus is, Jesus loves us, we don't know. And I thought that was I'm like, is it? They're trying to make some commentary on religion. Do you remember that scene?
No.
I forgot why. I don't even remember why they went to the church, or they visited a priest, and suddenly, like, all these people came to church, and Postmaster P and his buddies, like, were sort of forced into a situation where they had to, like, wrap their way out of it. They had to act like they were.
Oh my God! If I had a nickel, right? Every time I've had to wrap my way out of a situation. That's true. For the longest time, I had to sing the blues to get out of situations, but now it's mostly rap.
That's true. I remember how weird it was the first time we were hanging out, and a fight almost started, and you were like, Mike, drop a beat.
Yeah, 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 like, yeah.
Wait, what?
You did, though, and I appreciated that. Yeah, now you've always had my back.
So stupid. Yeah, and then, like, the movie, when Leprechaun had the dude kill himself, like, it got dark and
parts.
Like, it's just, it was all over the
yes.
place.
And I heard the word blaxploitation thrown around in defense of this movie.
Okay.
And I guess, I mean, in a way, it's an exploitation movie, and it has a black cast for the most part. So, yes, I suppose technically it's blaxploitation, but I feel like that's making an excuse for a movie that's just shitty and misguided. Mm-hmm. And I don't think they set out to make a blaxploitation movie. Again, if it's this exact same plot, but instead there's a different character who shows up and can make their wishes come true and turn them into rap stars, but there's a price to pay. Like, to me, that is a blaxploitation movie.
Right.
But as soon as you make it part of the Leprechaun franchise, it's not. It's trying to smash these two things together, and I don't think it's a good Leprechaun movie or a successful blaxploitation movie. So it's just a movie for no audience.
Right. But apparently it did well. Because, or it did well enough that that's why they went.
Like
back
it got
to the hood.
Rentals? Because okay. This never came out, right?
Well, right. I believe two or three were the last ones to be released theatrically.
I think three was.
Okay.
I think, but okay. I could be wrong. And even that had to be right. A pretty small release.
Yeah, I would think so.
So everything after three went straight to video.
Because I read, so Rob Spira directed Leprechaun in the Hood, and he was going to come back for the next movie, and then. Producer said, you know, that movie did well. We want to bring him back to the hood. And he wanted to move the Leprechaun somewhere else. No joke. So he said, no, I'm not interested then. But, yeah, I think it's interesting that they saw. They must have seen some uptick.
Well, yeah. But, okay, A, like, I want to move the Leprechaun somewhere else is a big symptom of what's wrong with this franchise. Sure. Because it's just, hey, let's drop the Leprechaun into Leprechaun underwater. Leprechaun in Atlantis, you know, and just drop him into all these wacky different settings.
With Aquaman?
Maybe. What's the line?
Aquaman's?
Yeah.
From the Justice League?
Yeah. Like the Macho Man line. We were just doing it last night.
Oh, just a line we made up?
No, it was a real line. It's in the trailer. Oh, shit. It's Momoa. Right. Damn it.
Because I remember it devolved into just us doing...
Like, yeah, then we just turned it into Macho Man. But he has a line in the trailer that does not look good, that trailer. Yeah, basically. Just like, yeah, bro. I don't know what it was. It wasn't, yeah, bro. Anyway.
Let me tell you something, Flash.
Oh, yeah.
There's only one king of Atlantis, and it ain't you, Dark Knight.
No, that wasn't him.
Yeah,
was that Macho Man?
Yeah, that was Macho Man.
He came out to Pomp and Circumstance?
Yeah, he did.
That seems more appropriate for his brother, the genius, Lanny Poffo. Oh, my God. I remember when Lanny Poffo was just Lanny Poffo. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, now he's the genius. Now he has a character all of a sudden. He was just like the guy that lost to the bigger star for the longest time. And now he's a character. Ay, ay, ay.
Anyway.
So, yeah, of course it did well. Because, again, I think it was just rented by a bunch of people, ironically. Yeah. Like, oh, my God, Leprechaun in the Hood. What a hilarious title. What a stupid idea. Let's get it and make fun of it and then talk about how hilarious it was. Now, I will say Leprechaun Back to the Hood is not a movie I liked.
Right.
But I think it's a much better movie than Leprechaun in the Hood.
Okay. I agree.
Because I think it was a more successful. Again, the Leprechaun shit doesn't work, but I feel like it was a more successful version of the whole blaxploitation thing, because I think it's trying to say something about the, this is me reading too much into it, but like sort of the economics of an economically depressed area. Mm-hmm. And here are a group of people who are essentially living in poverty who now get all of this gold, and what are they going to do with it? And now somebody wants it back and they don't want to give it back. And like, I understand that they've done that so many times in the series, but before it was always just about people's greed, which isn't to say that it isn't in Leprechaun Back to the Hood, but it's like, hey, but also we need this money.
Yes.
Like, they don't use it for anything good. They just go out and blow it on dumb shit, you know? So it's not like they're trying to make a statement in that way, but it comes closer to actually being something. Now, at the same time, it's not a good movie. I don't understand what happens, because he dies 5 times at the end, and there's little glowing lights that flow out of him, and then he puts them back inside, and then one time they kill him, and I think he's dead, and then he's back just a few minutes later, and they're hanging off a building, and I was like, hi, I don't understand. What are the rules for how you kill him? I legitimately don't know how to kill the leprechaun.
They don't know.
No, there's no... There's no one way to kill the leprechaun.
But I remember he was a little bit... I thought Warwick was less playful in this one, if that makes sense. He seemed to want... it seemed he was trying to be a scarier leprechaun. I mean, don't get me wrong. It's less like the weed jokes and
I forgot the weed jokes.
I mean, there's still that, but there were moments where he felt a little more menacing.
It seems to be trying to be less campy overall.
Mm-hmm.
Which again, I don't think these two things go together, but I think what you have is a filmmaker who's trying to find a way to make these two things work and coexist.
Right.
You know, to his credit, Stephen A. Rolumi.
That's who wrote it?
I guess. Characters by Mark Jones. Me. Mark Jones.
Never forget. Because I think it was directed by Zach Lebovsky, and I think he like writes for.
Why do I have Stephen A. Rolumi?
Oh
then?
Shit! No, I'm sorry. I was on Origins. I'm sorry.
Oh yeah, Damn it. Don't get ahead here.
Sorry. Yeah, no, Stephen. Yeah, I think he writes for like Blackish now. I believe
this was apparently, according to the Wikipedia page that I'm looking at right now, was written to take place at spring break, and then they changed it so that it would go back to being in the hood, so they could go back to the hood. Now, having said that, I think there's a movie in Leprechaun on Spring Break.
Sure.
I mean, again, not a good one because we're just dropping him in anywhere.
Right.
Just Leprechaun in medieval England, you know? Like, Leprechaun meets Robin Hood, which I would be down with. Don't get me wrong.
As long as Costner's playing Robin Hood. I'm in. This movie opened with
They're both trying to steal gold from King John. Singing.
Now this movie opened with like an animated, it was like a Lord of the Rings type animated thing, which was way more interesting than the previous movie.
Yeah. Again, I don't think this is a good movie, but I thought it was a better movie than the previous two.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it's better than like three or two or whatever, but it seems to be trying to do something. Entertainment Weekly, according to this Wikipedia page, named it the third worst sequel of all time.
I don't know.
I don't even know if it's the third worst Leprechaun movie. I mean, it might be, but I was over it by the time I got to this one. But the leads are, I think, a little bit more likable. Mm-hmm. Less generic, I guess, than the previous entries.
Postmaster P.
Right. I don't know what else there is to say about it. It's not great. If they are going to make another Leprechaun movie, I do hope that they put it at spring break. But at this point, it's just Sharknado. It's just...
Oh, yeah.
And how they haven't done a Leprechaun Sharknado crossover, I don't know. It's bound to happen at some point, right?
Right.
I don't know. The franchise seems to be done, which I'm more than okay with, because Leprechaun Origins did not set the world on fire.
What? Okay, we're on to Leprechaun Origins.
Yeah, let's get on to Leprechaun Origins.
Do you remember why you thought it's one of the worst?
I don't, except that I remember feeling like it was incompetently made. Mm-hmm. I remember it's not a leprechaun.
No, like, I know.
It's just a little descent beast.
Right.
And right. What? And I don't know. I just, you know, I heard, hey, WWE is rebooting Leprechaun with Hornswoggle, one of their star wrestlers. I don't know. Like, that's who I always root for. Hornswoggle. Who are some of the old little
always
people?
Always put my money on Dink.
King Haiti, was that? Do you know what I'm talking about? Like,
no. I remember Doink and Dink.
I don't remember Doink
remember
and Dink.
Remember Doink? Clown. And Dink was his little person.
I think this was after my time. Okay. So I'm going back to like, hold on, I'm going to Google WrestleMania 3 right now. Because there was a six-man tag.
New WrestleMania. That was like on your birthday, right?
That was. Yeah. My 10th birthday. Roddy Piper retired. Hogan body slammed Andre the Giant. Ricky Steamboat. The Aquaman in one of the greatest matches of all time. Like, it kept going and going and going. So awesome at the Pontiac Silverdome. There was like a six-man tag. It was Hillbilly Jim versus King Kong Bundy. And then they both had two little people on their teams. And And now I want to remember who those two little people were. So I'm pulling up the stats or the matches. Wait, I've got it. Lord Littlebrook and Little Tokyo.
Oh my God.
They both got little in their names.
I'm listening.
Sign me up.
Here's a picture of Doink and Dink.
Oh, I didn't. That's after my time. The Haiti Kid, not King Haiti, and Little Beaver.
Oh, Jesus.
Three of the four had little in their name, and the other one had kid. So we've come a long way in terms of how we treat little people, I think, because I don't think that shit would fly now 30 years later the way it did in 1987. But anyway, those are all that dude's favorite wrestlers. So, yeah, I remember there's no leprechaun. I remember feeling like it was so poorly shot that you never once got a look at him.
No, he was always like weirdly out of focus. Or
yes,
come in focus
and you got then. Like weird leprechaun vision, if memory serves.
Yeah, yes, it was like predator vision.
Yes. Which, what? Like, right. Why? I remember disliking everyone in the cast and that most of the movie is just them stuck in a room.
It is, and like it's set in Ireland. Well, okay, so
all right, that's
so,
something.
Right. So again, this is coming off of these six movies that I really didn't like. It suddenly it takes a different tone. It's set in Ireland. It sets up this story where, yeah, like these four kids who are traveling. They're, you know, American. They're traveling abroad. They get put in a house by a guy. What's his name? I think I wrote it down. And his son. Because that like that town that they're in, they fucked up years ago. And they stole Leprechaun's money or something, and to make amends, they feed him, basically.
Right. Would you call it like a blood sacrifice?
I would. So, yeah, I thought that was, I mean, I guess the more they talked about it, the less interested I was in. But at first, I thought, when the father and son, like, lure the kids in the house, and then before the father leaves, like on the porch of the house, he leaves like a gold Rolex and then leaves so they can be tortured by the leprechaun. At that time, I was like, oh, we're following the wrong people. Like, I'm way more interested in this father-son dynamic and what's going on with this town. But no, we stay with the kids for the movie. And it's, yeah, it gets pretty uninteresting. And like you said, I don't like the design of the leprechaun. We barely see him because he's shot weirdly, and
it's just another.
His thing is like he wants to eat people. So right. I mean, they really like abandoned whatever little like consistent mythology there was beforehand. Like, it's...
did someone say little mythology? I got a whole series of movies: Tiny Perseus, Tiny Theseus, Tiny Zeus. I got the scripts all written already. He shoots little lightning bolts from his fingers.
Picture a fucking sparkler.
He floats around on a tiny cloud. Yeah, I don't know. I guess because I sat down thinking like, okay, you have an opportunity to turn this into something. Fine, go scary with it, but also make it a leprechaun movie.
Yes.
And I think I was so frustrated that it was not a leprechaun movie at all. It just had the word leprechaun in it. And it was, you know, we're going to cash in on casting one of our wrestlers the way they had done with a few horror movies, primarily like the See No Evil movies, right, with Kane. Neither of which are particularly good. Despite the second one having both Danielle Harris and Catherine Isabel, and being directed by the Soskas, it's just not very good. Okay. But so I was like, okay, you have an opportunity here to turn this into something else and to possibly kickstart a new thing. And I just thought it failed as a horror movie because it's super boring and kind of incompetent. And it also failed at being any kind of a satisfying leprechaun movie,
right,
to the point where, you know, I really don't like these In the Hood and In Space and all that, but like they do have a specific personality. It's a garbage personality. It's like if you know a person that has all kinds of terrible personality traits, you're like, I can't stand this person, but I can, they certainly have a lot of personality traits. I don't like any of them. Mm-hmm. And this movie didn't even have that.
Yeah. They stripped Leprechaun of any
thing.
Yeah, and he like he didn't feel mad. He's not like magical in this one. He's more.
He's just a little monster.
Animal-like. Right.
That's it.
Right.
But there's no. I mean, even the opening. It's like two people in the woods. And they get like dragged away. It opens like Predator.
Yeah.
And I was like, "What the fuck is this movie?"
Right.
Because then we get Predator vision for the rest of the movie. Like, did this guy just really want to make tiny Predator? I've been trying to get that thing shot for years. This fucking guy goes to Vince McMahon once, and he gets to make tiny Predator. Damn it.
Then they do things like, and maybe I missed something, but one of the, so there's, you know, four Americans, right? And the lead girl, her boyfriend, on two separate occasions, leaves one of them behind. Like
right.
When they're, and they call, they'll call attention to it, like, hey, what the fuck was that? And never address it beyond
right.
a symbol, like, right after he does it, someone's like, hey, why'd you do that? And then they never.
And at one point. They accidentally stab one of the girls.
Yeah, they like axe her in the head.
Yeah. And I remember being like, oh, yep. I didn't see that coming.
Right.
And that was kind of the one bright spot mm-hmm. in the movie. Not because I wanted to see the girl get axed in the head, but just because, hey, I got to give him credit for surprising me.
Right. And for a pretty bloodless franchise, there was some gore in this one.
Yeah.
Which some gore.
Is not what I was really missing in the previous installments, right. You know? But it's so... I think I was so frustrated with their attempt to make this like the dark, edgy leprechaun movie. So much so that they forgot to make a leprechaun movie. Again, not that I want like Warwick Davis fucking rapping or doing Elvis impressions or any of that shit, but like go back to the first movie and do a darker version of that.
Whose origin is it?
Fuck if I know. Okay. Like, if that's the leprechaun's origin, at some point does he morph into Warwick Davis? We're at just the descent monster stage of his evolution, and then eventually he turns into a Warwick Davis?
Maybe.
Is that what Warwick Davis looked like as a baby? Wasn't he playing Wicket as a pretty young kid? Is that what he looked like
that's
under that Wicket suit?
Up?
Oh my gosh. I don't like that movie at all.
No.
And it was not your least favorite? I got the impression when we started out and you were like, oh, yeah, I was surprised that you said it was your least favorite.
I don't know that it was my least favorite because, again, okay. It's just at least it was different.
Sure. Yeah, yeah.
I'm not at all saying it was good.
Right.
But it at least had that going for me. Like, that got me through.
And I watched it just on its own as a separate thing when I saw it years ago, as opposed to watching it after six or seven previous Leprechaun movies. So okay. I completely understand where it's like, well, at least it's not Warwick Davis rapping or right. doing Elvis, you know,
right.
it's something different. It's just a bad movie on its own.
Mm-hmm.
But
I don't know if you remember this. I went back and timed it. The end credits. Do you remember this?
No.
So they'll show handful of credits and then cut to weird sort of out of focus shots of, I don't even know. Just items that we've seen throughout the movie. And then at the end of the credits, it ends on like, you know, like fades to black. And then for a split second, we see the leprechaun that's supposed to make you jump. The credits were 12 minutes.
Holy shit.
Long. I was so angry by the time it ended. Cause like it would fade into these just sort of out of focus shots of different objects. And I'm like, you're doing this for a reason. So I'm going
to
stick with
pad the running time.
I have no idea, but it was.
I'm looking up the running time right now because maybe it was. Well, it's 90 minutes, so they would have been 88. No, 88.
Nope,
78 without it. I mean, maybe it's to pad the running time.
I
can't believe I just did that math and only took off 2 minutes. It's been a long month, everyone. Yeah, those are long credits. That's like almost as long as Lord of the Rings, right?
Right.
The extended cuts. Do you remember when we were like, oh my God, these are still going? We watched all three one time. And by the time we got to Return of the King, it was like those credits ran for 40 minutes.
Right.
I love those Lord of the Rings movies. They got those hobbits. I should have been directing those. Bring me some hobbits. I'll show you how to make a movie.
I'm only sticking with Frodo and Sam. Fuck you, Aragorn.
Merry and Pip, a little too tall for my taste. I got a habit for hobbits. I don't know. This is the dumbest joke to come out of this entire podcast. And yet, the best thing to come out of the Leprechaun franchise is our impression of the director. So there's something liberating about knowing that you never have to watch these again, right?
Yes. So will you hold on? Okay, so this is something I'm dealing with. Yeah. Will you hold on to these movies?
Yes.
I think I will, too. I can't imagine I'm going to watch them again, but I'll
hold probably on. Won't, but there's a part of me that likes knowing that they're on my shelf if I ever need them.
And
that's demented.
I'm with you. And I'm fully in, like, oh, my God, physical media is going to be gone tomorrow.
Yes, maybe. Yes.
So, But
yeah, when are we ever going to watch these again? You know, I don't know. Someday I might watch the first Leprechaun again.
Sure.
Maybe.
Sure.
Maybe my kids will be like, we want to watch a horror movie, but we want the monster to be, I don't know, our size. And I'll be like, kids, have I got a movie for you?
It's Remember called... this name, kids. Mark Jones.
It's called Leprechaun Origins, kids. And we're going right to the last disc on the box set. Oh, shit. Anyway, so that's going to bring us to the end of another Scary Movie Month. Mike, this is always one of my favorite podcasts to do all year.
Me too.
Not just of Scary Movie Month.
Thank you
so
very much.
It is the little carrot at the end of this very long month that has gone by far too quickly.
I agree. Thank you for saying that.
And I did not enjoy watching these movies, but I enjoyed talking about them with you.
Me too.
Which makes it all worth it. Nervous. You were nervous that I was going to like them all. And you'd be like, oh, great. Now I got to be the asshole who doesn't like the Leprechaun. No, you knew that I didn't like them because our 7-word reviews were just tiny suicide notes. Did someone say tiny suicide note? I got the littlest pencil, and I write my tiny suicide note after they didn't bring me back for Leprechaun 2. Nobody could read the thing, so I didn't do it. Besides, I had a tiny noose, wouldn't fit around my neck. I keep forgetting, I'm a grown man.
If you can hang yourself from your finger, I'd be set.
It was basically one of those little strings that people tie to remind themselves of shit. Couldn't hang myself with that. I took the smallest dose of poison. It was less than a Monopoly thimble. My tiny suicide.
I closed my garage and pedaled my big wheel so fast.
Anyway, so that's going to bring us to the end of the month. And thank you guys again for another really, really fun Scary Movie Month. I really hope that everybody enjoyed all of the stuff that we were putting out. Thank you to all of our amazing writers and podcasters for really kicking ass this month and putting out so much extra stuff. It's been really, really fun.
Absolutely. Thank you.
And as always, you can find us at fthismovie.com, read more of our stuff. You can find us wherever you get your podcasts. If this is your first time listening, we're on Twitter and Facebook, so you can get involved there, or you can always email us at fthismoviepodcast@gmail.com. No word yet on what the first show of our non-Scary Movie Month is going to be, but next month, you know, will be November, and we'll get back to a fairly normal routine. And then before you know it, we're already to our end of the year stuff, which is bananas.
Do you have a lot of catching up to do?
Oh, my God. So much. So much. I could not make a top 10 list right now if you were, like, forcing me to watch more Leprechaun movies. It was like, make your top 10 or watch Leprechaun in the Hood again. I couldn't do it. I would have to watch Leprechaun in the Hood again. So I have so much catching up to do, which hopefully I'm looking forward to. We'll see. I don't know what kind of year it's been. But thanks again, Mike.
Thank you.
See you next week, everybody.
This podcast was fun, but too long. Next time we do it in a vine. We'll be right back.
Thanks for listening to FS Movie.